Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 23rd, 2012, episode 344, sponsored by FeedXL.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, everybody. You know, it's a Thursday that kind of feels like Friday. When we were doing our pre-show meeting, I don't know, we were doing our pre-show meetings, like, I'm tired, and you were kind of just, and it's like, feels like Friday. But for you, it is Friday. So.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because yesterday, I thought yesterday was Thursday all day. I mean, and I don't understand, because I wake up, one of the first things I say in the morning is what day it is. So, my little read here. So the fact that yesterday I have, on Thursdays, I have a group lesson that comes to ride. And I have a sick horse, so one of the group lesson horses is sick. So I thought, okay, well, I'll just take everybody on a trail ride. And literally at 4:30, I'm like, where is everybody? I'm getting mad at them. And so I go in and I look at them. I'm like, did everybody cancel? Like, what the heck? Oh, my God, it's Wednesday. Like, I had the horses up. I had everything. What is wrong with me? Have you ever done that? Like, totally prepared for some other day's activity?
That's it. That's funny. That's funny. To go through all that
all
work and it'd be the wrong day.
All the time.
Yeah, generally.
I was there.
Where is
I was
everybody?
Mad at them. Yeah.
It's good you
I'm
didn't
like,
start
these
calling
teenagers,
people.
They're three teenagers, and I was cussing them under my breath, like, teenagers, they're so irresponsible. I cannot believe that they would nut you up for their riding lesson, not even bother to call me. Oh, my God, it's Wednesday. sorry, guys.
Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's Friday, Wednesday, Thursday show?
On today's FreedXL.com, prematurely preoccupied with the weekend, Thursday edition, we open the show with a little welcome party with Patty from Holland Horse Tack, a brand new sponsor here on Horse Radio Network, and we're going to have a lovely chat about the folks over there at Holland Horse Tack and making a move in the first turn. Alicia Wins from the Lexington Herald is bringing us her Triple Crown top five to watch, the first of, I'm sure, many Triple Crown installments that we will be having this spring. And racing to the wire of today's show, Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse is here with some fantastic news for hunter competitors with steeds of smaller stature. So stay tuned for the utterly distracted carnival of craziness that is about to ensue.
Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Whinny goes out to a new listener that I found out about yesterday. His name is Tom Spears, and he's from the middle part of the country, and listened to the show for the first time yesterday and said, I'm going to be listening again tomorrow, and then he liked it. So we love to hear that. You know what, Jamie? If we have to, we're going to increase the listenership on this show one listener at a time. One day,
now,
one listener if we have to. That's for him. That's for Tom.
Now, don't lie, Glenn, because really what you care about is the fact that it's a guy.
That is true. And I add another guy to the Man Nation here on Horses in the Morning. So you know what? He deserves an extra. Two cheers for a guy.
well, we welcome him, and any of the other new listeners, please feel free to get in touch with us. You can email Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. He likes to know when people are listening, because I think sometimes Glenn gets a little nervous that nobody is. And is that true?
Yes. Well, yeah, I think, you know, that's the problem with radio. It's so used to doing theater where the audience is right there. You know whether they're listening or not because you can see them. With radio, you don't know. Now, we see the numbers after, but we have no idea during the show whether anybody's listening. And we know people are. We know there are thousands of people listening. But, you know, it's kind of weird when you just sit here and talk to yourself and each other and then, you know, hope that somebody's actually listening. So, anyway.
All right. Give me my daily. My daily whinny goes out to the website Horse Nation. And I maybe, you know, I'm sure it didn't start with them, but for some reason they keep posting it. So if you look at our Facebook page, you know, we had the Ryan Gosling horse, equestrian Ryan Gosling, where there's a photo like Ryan Gosling sitting there and he says, "Hey, girl, you know when you have you forget your half chaps and you accidentally wear them to the store?" That's so cute. So it's a picture of Ryan Gosling with a caption of that. And now they've done equestrian Ryan Reynolds because now it's like Ryan versus Ryan. And so now they got a picture here. I put it on our Facebook page of Ryan Reynolds saying, "That girl, no way. You look way better in your breeches than she does. And your horse is a better mover." So you can see them on our Facebook page. And it's just something to make me happy today. There you go. Thanks, horsenation.com.
I get in trouble when I post pictures of pretty girls, and you post pictures of hot guys, and you don't get in trouble. How does that work? Why is that?
Well, I don't know, but I can make it worse because they do have a really hot one on the website that is Ryan Reynolds shirtless, thanking you for letting the barn chores get him in such good shape. Because he is, like, ripped. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to abstain from posting that because Glenn might get offended. But now that you've brought that up, I'm going to post it on our Facebook page just for you.
All right, well, I'll bring that up next time. I want to post something good for the guys out there, the guys like Tom who are listening who want to see something good. I'm just saying. I'm gonna remember that. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
All right. Hey, I want to remind everybody, no really bad ads tomorrow because I will be live at the 2012 World Horseshoeing Classic at the Kentucky Horseshoeing School in Richmond, Kentucky. I'm sure there's going to be a selection of hot guys there. And that is going to be live from there tomorrow. There are 16 teams that compete from around the world and in a horseshoeing competition. We're going to find out how that works and what all happens at horseshoeing competitions. They're giving away a chunk of change, too. There's a reason people are coming in. It's a $10,000 grand prize. So, boy, if you do a good job shoeing those horses, you're going to walk away with some cash. I'm going to be sure to find out who the winner is, and that's who I'm going to lunch with after the show. In
going to the bar.
Buying drinks. We're looking forward to that. Thank you very much to Joe down there at the World Horseshoeing Classic for inviting us down. Joe's going to be co-hosting tomorrow. So Jamie, Jamie hates it when I call her up and I say, "Look, we're going to a remote and we can't have you as part of the show. You have to take the day off." She just hates that.
It's not really fair. But you know what? What stinks is that you are doing this show on Really Bad Ads Day. And I didn't get to do Really Bad Ads last week because I was sick, and so I'm missing out on Really Bad Ads this week.
That is true. That is true. And, you know, they sent you the perfect ad. The winner last week was about 10 sentences with no punctuation. And you know that they sent that just for you. And it was kind of funny hearing Wendy try to get through that particular one. And she even said on the driving radio show this week, she said, "I'm just not as good at that as Jamie. It's hard to read 10 sentences without punctuation." So.
That's okay. Wendy and I are currently playing Words with Friends, and she's definitely kicking my butt there. So great, I can read fast. She's smart.
she's having a great time down there in Florida too. She's having a wonderful time. Well, we're going to have our first guest coming up. We have a new sponsor to welcome to the show, but before we do, we have a couple news stories that we wanted to get to. Couple of them that we had yesterday we never got to, and one of them was that about Black Caviar, right?
Yeah, she is. Everybody was talking about she was going to go to Dubai and run against Frankel, which Frankel is like the other superstar that's over in England. So you got Frankel in England, and then you got Black Caviar in Australia, and they were talking about running them in Dubai together. Well, apparently she's not going to go. She really wanted her to break a record. She's 19-0. And they really wanted her to break a record in Australia, but she's going to actually take a break and come back for the Royal Ascot in Great Britain. So she's going to get a little break. She's 19-0. She's absolutely amazing. They did say that when she broke the record in her last race for the fastest fraction ever recorded by a racehorse, a thoroughbred racehorse, she pulled up 110%, they said, and they want to keep it that way. And if she heads to the paddock in that condition, it's only going to enhance her prospects for her next campaign. So she could return in late April for one of two races in Australia before she then makes the trip to Great Britain. So hopefully going to be waking that 20-0 in her home country, and that is kind of what the people want. And she is now the people's horse, much like Zenyatta was the people's horse.
I actually kind of think that's a good move because it's going to mean a lot more to the people in Great Britain than it is the people in Dubai. So, I think it's just going to mean a lot more to them. Plus, the Royal Ascot is like the race of all races. So I kind of think this was a good move.
It would have been, apparently, if she would have gone to Dubai, it would have been her fourth race in 5 weeks, and they didn't want to do that. They did say that. Of course, she could have gone and won just as easily as she did in the last one. But it would have been her fourth out of 5 weeks. So I'm like, Peter Moody, the trainer, is confident, but he should be. This mare is amazing. But I would love to see her run against Frankel. So we'll see if that happens. Maybe that'll happen at the Royal Ascot. Who knows?
All right, good. And you know what? If you get sick of that, that little house you live in out there in Phoenix, Arizona, and your little 3 acres with your 16 horses, if you get sick of that place, Britney Spears moved out of her house out there in L.A. She was leasing $25,000 a month. You can have this little gem, and it's up for lease again or sale. You can buy it for a cool $10 million. And that's discounted, by the way. They dropped the price about $3 million. But, if you're just getting sick of being cramped, and how many bathrooms do you have in your house, Jane?
2.5.
Okay, so you got 3 toilets in the house. Well, in case that's not enough, when you have company when your dad comes over and all 3 are taken at the same time, this particular little Tudor-style house, by the way, I absolutely love the look of this one, is 3.4 acres. It has a guest quarters, 2 staff apartments, a lake, a swimming pool, and a tennis court. And there are 10 bedrooms and a cool 13 bathrooms and more than 19,000 square feet of living space. 13 people can be going to the bathroom at the same time in this house.
Probably don't flush all at the same time. That would cause some sort of like backup in the plumbing system. But you'd have to go to Sam's Club or Costco and do some toilet paper shopping because that is a lot of bathrooms. Like I said, 2.5, but our half bath is actually outside in the garage. So we really couldn't all be going at the same time. Because you're not in the same house really. So I would like to say that, wait a second. This is $25,000 a month is what she was renting it for. It's priced at $9.95 million, and it only has 3.4 acres, Glenn. I have 3 acres right now. This isn't a step up unless you were thinking that all of my horses could have their own bedroom.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking, actually. And bedroom. You could be like that lady in England who had the horse in the house. You could just convert them into stalls and make little doors out to the backyard.
Yeah, why not? $9.95 million would make a really nice barn, though.
It kind of got the Tudor look going there already. I just was saying, if we ever wanted to move up and have more bathrooms, there you go. Can you imagine? It's like need toilet paper in bathroom 12. Bathroom 12 without toilet paper. How do you clean
this
13
house,
bathrooms?
This house looks like Hansel and Gretel would be visiting. You know, oh, Hansel, come to the door.
All right, our first guest is on the line. Let's get to Patty, and you actually have been testing some of these products out that we're going to talk about here. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we want to welcome Patty from Holland Horse Tech, who is the newest sponsor here to Horses in the Morning. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How are you?
Good. Patty. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you joining us this morning and coming on board here at Horses in the Morning. As you know, we don't like to have any fun at all over here at this show. So we want to have you on. And, Jamie, you are kind enough to send Jamie actually one of almost everything that you have that she was able to try out at home and at a horse show. And we're going to get to talking about some of those products in a minute. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in Solon, Ohio, and I can tell you how I came about having Holland Horse Tack be a distributor for the products that I sell. Holland Horse Tack.
But you're a rider, right? First, I want you to learn a little bit about you. What
kind
of riding do you do?
I do, basically dressage. I have jumped in the past, and I love to trail ride. There's lots of nice trails here in Ohio. But right now, I'm just doing some dressage.
Okay, cool. And then you came to be a distributor and to develop Holland Horse Tack Cow.
I came across the products at the barn where I board my horse, which is in Newbury, Ohio. And one of the other boarders, whose name is Amy, went to Germany last year. And she came back with these horse boots that she had purchased at a show. And there were several of us there that day, and we were oohing and aahing over these boots. And a couple of us decided we wanted to have a pair for ourselves. So I went home, and I got online, and I found the Dutch Indro website. And I navigated through the Dutch and the Euros, and I used the email they provided to let them know what I wanted. And the owner's name is Paul Robeson, and he emailed me back with what I needed to do to get these boots and entailed converting euros to dollars, and I had to send a bank transfer, which the bank charges a $40 fee, and there were customs forms and fees. It's not just a click of and pay by Visa kind of thing.
Right.
So it's pretty difficult to get the boots, but in the end, it was really worth it. But I asked Mr. Robeson through email why these great products are not here in America, and he emailed me back and asked if I knew anyone that wanted to be a distributor, and I said, I do. So here I am.
Thus, Holland Horse Tack was born.
It was born, yes.
And so the products that you were talking about is Indra, I-N-D-R-A. And give us just an overview of all the different products that are available. And then I want to bring Jamie in to talk about one of her favorites today that she used.
Okay. We carry 6 items of the Indra line, and it includes leg protectors, which are basically boots, leg wraps, bell boots, cool packs, which are wraps used when the horse's legs need cooling. And there are 2 types of back pads. One's called the body guard, and then there's a pad called the back pad, which is a therapeutic gel pad for horses with back soreness.
Okay, cool. Well, Jamie, now you have all of these products, and you went to a horse show, and you got to try some out. Tell us about the one you want to talk about today.
Well, you know, there's nothing like going to a competition and using new stuff. I mean, doesn't everybody say, don't use new stuff? But I tried on the leg wraps at this, and I was like, there's no way I'm not running my horse cross country with these. And so, you know, we all know that Jet has the problem. We've talked about this with thehorse.com and Dr. Jones about how I cannot put leg wraps on his back legs. He just, especially cross-country boots, the way that cross-country boots are typically designed are very, very firm and unmoving. So in case the horse hits the jump, it protects them. Well, my horse freaks out when he has boots on like that. Like, he cannot stand to have anything that is completely immovable on his legs. He doesn't like it at all. He bucks, he kicks, goes crazy. So after getting the Holland horse tack boots, the Indra, I got the leg wraps and the leg protectors. And can I do a little comparison, Patty? Do you mind?
Sure. No, not at all.
Okay. The 3-in-1 leg protector is kind of like sports medicine boots. But I'm going to tell you why they're better than sports medicine boots. First of all, the fit is a lot better, and they're a lot more flexible. You know, where the S&Bs, not to rip on them because they have their place as well, but they, to me, I always felt like underneath the fetlock wasn't very flexible. It was a scoop and it was immovable. Well, this one is much more flexible, and you can kind of position it a little bit better when you put them on. And the leg wraps. The leg wraps are almost that same material. And what's the material that they are?
It's called Hypalon, and it's a very high-quality, breathable, open-cell technology type of neoprene.
Okay, gotcha. Hypalon. Okay, no wonder I didn't know what it was. it's really nice, and it is breathable, and it's very flexible. But the leg wrap, it almost looks like on the outside when you put them on, it looks like a comparison of an S&B or like the leg protector, but it doesn't go around the fetlock. But it's one tall boot. It goes from fetlock all the way to the base of the knee. And it wraps around. And I thought, well, this is going to be difficult to kind of put on and get even. It wasn't. And what I like about the leg protectors, the 3-in-1 leg protectors and the leg wrap, is like the coolest idea for a pair of boots ever. The Velcro is stretchy.
Yes.
Talk about being able to put a good fit on. When I discovered that the Velcro stretches, you know, you go to put on your wolf boots, you go to put on whatever boots, the Velcro doesn't move. So you have to, like, kind of push the boot forward with your thumb and then pull the Velcro back. Not with these. The Velcro pulls and stretches and wraps in places where you want, and it pulls it together for you. So out of everything, both the leg protector and the leg wraps, are by far my favorite boot I've ever used. For anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I got them, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like these. Oh, my gosh, the best boots I've ever used.
Good. Well, the wraps also, you know, there's the leg protectors, which are the boots, and then there's leg wraps, which, of course, like you said, don't protect the fetlock, but they wrap in, you know, the tendons. It has that little Velcro inside. Do you find that that's really helpful in straightening it when you're putting it on, like that first pass around for the wrap? I love
yes,
that.
Yes, because I thought, so I like kind of, I'm trying to think of like what shape it would be. It's like this really long piece of the Hypalon, and it's got the three straps on the back. We're going to post a picture of them on Facebook. And there is a piece of Velcro in the middle because I thought, how am I going to get all this to be steady? The second you make one pass around, there's an interior Velcro that I didn't even see that grabbed it and held it in place.
Yes.
So then you were able to wrap the outside. And to me, with my horse not liking the unflexible boots, with these, they're very flexible, but they also wrapped around twice. So they are very protective of the leg. I thought that they were fantastic. And then I put the bell boots underneath them, the 3-in-1s on the back, and we went out there and had a great ride and had a great time. He had studs on, so we needed to protect the legs, and this just was a perfect situation. And I'll send you a picture of him show jumping with his little leg wraps on because it was
Aww.
Really cool.
Awesome.
But that, definitely, you know, as far as the one I wanted to highlight today, the leg wrap is the stuff. Like, loved it. Loved the stretchy Velcro. I can't say enough about it. I've had, like, three friends that are like, I need to, I'm like, leg wraps, Holland horse tack.
Thank you, Jamie.
I recommend them too for jumping and for dressage too.
Oh, terrific. Great.
Now, did you say too, Jamie, that your coach was pretty impressed? Didn't you tell me that she was like, where'd you get those and what are they?
Yes, but she coveted the cool pack of boots. She was like, I need some ice boots for my horse. I'm like, yeah, they're mine. Suck it.
Yeah, that's a cool product too. But they're all really amazing, and I think what I like about all of these products is not only does the air flow through them very well, but they're also the ability to move with the horse, all of the products, and especially the leg wraps and the protectors, there's nothing hard about it. And the designers of them felt that horses are athletes and they need to be comfortable, and they're going to perform better, and they're going to be more willing to work if they have the ability to move freely. So they've really hit the mark here.
Yeah.
Well,
I really like them and highly recommend them. Go ahead, Glenn.
We're going to talk about all of the products here coming up over the next couple of weeks, but I wanted to ask you, seeing we seem to be focusing on the leg wrap today, do they come in sizes or colors, or what's the story on that?
Yes. I carry, for the leg wraps, there's a medium and a large, and that pretty much hits every size horse. They used to have small, I believe, in Europe, but really they were so small no one bought them. The colors are black and white, and the leg protectors come in four sizes, from small to extra large. And they also come in black and white, and I can also provide navy, too.
Okay, cool. And you can find all of these products at hollandhorsetack.com. These are not shipped out of Holland. You don't need to convert anything. It's all American now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's how you do it. You go to hollandhorsetack.com. I know we have a lot of eventers that listen to this show. And, you know, and other riders, whether you're doing trail riding and need to protect the tendons. I used to have to use these types of boots on my driving horse because she was getting older, and we used to have to give her a little bit of extra support. And the boots really did the trick on her, my driving pony. So no matter what discipline you're in, there are definitely products here you want to take a look at. And we'll get to talking about the pads and the bell boots and the cool packs and all of that stuff here in the next couple of weeks. But thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you wanted to mention before we let you go?
I think that's it.
Cool. Very good. HollandHorseTack.com. And thank you for outfitting Jet, because if he ever came up lame because he didn't have boots on his back legs, we'd never hear the end of it, and it'd be an endless moaning here on the show. So you're helping me and all the listeners. Just, we wanted to let you know that. We appreciate it.
You know what was funny? I got to tell you real quick, because he really hates back boots, and I've been working on him, just trying to get some shipping boots on him. I finally got standing bandages on him, but the 3-in-1 leg protector, you know, it really it hugs the fetlock. It goes all the way up almost to the hock, because I put him on the back, because you can go on the front or back. And because he's not used to, like, that much support and protection, he did not move his back legs. And the hay was in the back of the stall. I was in the front of the stall. And he was pivoting with his front legs, like, walking with his front legs. And his hind legs were just, like, he was doing a turn on the haunches the entire way around until I could take him out of the stall. And he did the, like, super high leg step. And then he was fine. Like, there was no kicking. There was no frustration. There was no anything. He just came out and was like, okay, got it.
Well, I think they probably felt good after a while. Some people use these, like, if their horse has a ligament problem, they can use them as a therapy boot, a therapeutic type of boot, as a bandage almost. I hate the word bandage, but some riders, their veterinarians recommend these, some of the European riders, for turnout as well as for when you're riding them. So they're really an all-around amazing boot.
Yeah, I really liked them. Thank you very much for sending them, and I'm excited that you're on board, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Patty. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. And we're going to be getting to our next guest here very shortly. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Kentucky Derby next. And there was a writer from the Lexington Herald Leader, Alicia, who wrote an article called Derby Dozen, 12 Horses to Start Getting Excited About. And of course, we really soon have to start picking our favorite for the Derby like we did last year. And I'm excited about that and see how we're going to do. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But Eric Lamaz do you have your armband handy?
Hicks armband from Rhonda. Got it on. Go.
Okay. All right, good. Well, we can't talk about Eric Lamaze without you putting on your armband. He has names to potential Olympic.
Listen to this. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm Velcroing it right now.
Good. Seriously. Okay, Hickstead is our memorial is in place. We can talk about this. He has picked three horses now that he's hoping will help get him to the 2012 Summer Games, because, of course, Hickstead was his main pick for the Games, and, you know, he was really counting on Hickstead bringing him there. Well, he's acquired three new horses. He has Dutch Worm. It looks like he's got a Dutch Wormblood Gelding, a 10-year-old. He's got a 10-year-old Anglo-European mare and a 9-year-old Belgian Wormblood mare. So these are all have some campaign and experience on them, and I'm sure that you're going to see Eric Lamaze at the Olympics this year. I'd be surprised if you don't, wouldn't you? I mean, he's going to make it with one of these horses.
Over, like, they're not allowed to get any new horses that are contenders right now, so the cutoff date has been thrown. So, you know, it's not like he's going to catch ride something awesome. So he's got to make it work with one of the horses that he has. Oh, I'm a tick dead. Dad. Sorry. Put me in a bad mood every time we talk about it.
Sorry, I just didn't mean to bring it up.
No more.
All right,
talk about it. No.
Let's get to our new friend here from the Lexington Herald Leader, which, of course, anybody that's been to Lexington, Kentucky for whatever event, for the World Equestrian Games or for one of the Rolexes every year or for any of the other events at the Kentucky Horse Park, you've run across the Lexington Herald Leader. It is the newspaper of choice here in town. And we have Alicia on with us who wrote an article called The Derby Dozen, 12 Horses to Start Getting Excited About. And we wanted to get her pick of maybe the top five or six that she has in her mind for the Derby this year. Good morning, Alicia.
Hi, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. Now, is it too early, really, to start looking at this? We're all getting kind of excited because we love the Derby, and I know you are too.
From a fan perspective, it's never too early to start trying to plot out Derby horses. From a logical perspective, probably yes. You know, it is awfully still early, you know, in this Derby trail. And, I mean, especially with these young horses, it's kind of the equivalent to kind of trying to evaluate an eighth-grade basketball player and trying to forecast what he might be as a college player. So there is a whole lot of guessing games and forecasting going on, but that's part of the whole fun part of following this trail.
Hold on, because Glenn, you're saying, is it too early? I believe that come October of 2010, everybody was saying Uncle Mo was going to win the 2011 Derby. So, it, like she said, it's never too early, ever.
Now, tell us, of the list that you have picked here, like, who's your top five? Who are the ones that we really should... We picked last year, we picked Triple M last year, and we've had the owner on, and we've been following the progress and everything,
yeah,
and we went
group.
Through. Yeah, they're a terrific group, and they actually were with us since the beginning, and she comes on about once every 2 months, and it's been a thrill. So we need to pick another one for this year that we can develop a relationship with, and we're hoping that you can help guide us in that with maybe giving us like four or five choices here.
Oh, you guys are putting the pressure on early here. We'll kind of start off with the top with them. Yeah, I think the horse who's kind of the consensus top choice right now is Union Rags, who is famously trained by Michael Matu trained Barbaro, who everybody so fondly remembers in the great run that he had before he tragically broke down. But Union Rags he's a great horse. He's a proven horse. He won the Grade One Champagne Stakes last year, which is a very big race for two-year-olds, and ran a very good second to Hanson in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last November at Churchill Downs, which actually, even though he lost the race, a lot of people came out of that race thinking that he might actually end up being the better horse because he had a very wide trip throughout the race, and even when he was making his stretch run, he was kind of veering out a little bit to the outside, maybe even showing some of his, you know, his greenness and his, you know, that the fact that he still has some maturing to do there, but he still made a great run. He only fell a head short. From a physical standpoint, I remember, fortunately, and, you know, getting to see him last year at the Breeders' Cup, he was just a beautiful specimen of a horse. He was kind of that proverbial men among boys, where even though he was two, he already kind of looked like a three-year-old then. And in speaking with Michael in recent weeks, he said that the horse has just really continued to really grow up, and he's about 17 hands now. And he is making his first start back this weekend in the Fountain of Youth Stakes. And he seems to have all of those, you know, the so-called intangibles that Derby horse needs. He's versatile. He's got a tactical style. He's got the pedigree. He's got the physical look to him. And he's got a proven trainer in Michael, who obviously knows how to do this on a successful level.
Now, Glenn, if you recall, Union Rags was both of our picks to win the Eclipse Award this year, but it was one of the ones that we lost because I think Frankie actually made the pick of Hanson. But, you know, it was such an impressive race, the Breeders' Cup, and you just have to love Michael Matz. I mean, the former show jumper, turned racehorse trainer, had Barbaro, you know, and to be able to follow that story, to me, it's such a great, and the Derby is all about the backstory that goes into the whole thing. And can you imagine how much there's going to be about Michael and Barbaro as you're leading up to the Derby and talking about Union Rags coming in and being the next Derby contender? I mean, people don't get two Derby contenders in a lifetime, you know? I mean, some people do, but most people don't even get their one. So for him to come back in such strong fashion, I think he's going to be unbelievable, and I definitely love him. However, Michael probably won't come on our show all the time, Glenn, so we may want another pick.
So, well, another horse who is interesting, who actually has his connections are actually based in Louisville, is Algorithms, who's also running this weekend against Union Rags in the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Two of his owners, Jack and Lori Wolf, are actually natives of Louisville, and they run the Starlight Stable Partnership that owns him. He's another one. He and Union Rags, as far as the Pretty Pony contest goes, those two are neck and neck. Another beautiful physical specimen. He's another one. He's only had three starts, but he's done a lot in his three starts. In fact, in his first race back this year in the Holy Bull Stakes, he actually beat Hanson, the horse who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in the championship. He beat him very handily. He beat him by five lengths, and that was his first attempt going against, you know, the top stakes horses, and he won that very easily. And he looks like a horse who just has a ton of potential and upside. And he's kind, you know, he said we're all kind of looking at that horse that's peaked, that might be peaking at the right time, and he's another one who could be a prime contender for that once we get to May. And his owners are just a really fun group. They said they're local people. They kind of got into this, you know, they really are just race fans, and they're not one of those people who come into the sport, you know, looking to spend multi-million dollars. They do it the really sensible way and putting these partnerships together, but they've had just a ton of success over the years with some really great horses, and they think that this horse might be their best Derby contender yet.
And with a name like Todd Pletcher on your roster, you definitely get there. Now, what I was reading in your article is that this horse hasn't even gone past a mile in his races, so maybe pretty early to talk about him, but he must have some speed if everybody's already considering him a contender for a mile and an eighth race.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and just, you know, when we, you know, because obviously the bloodlines and the pedigree are kind of the backbone of the industry there, and if you look at this horse from a pedigree standpoint, his sire, Bernardini, you know, he was a very successful horse at the classic distances. So, you know, he's actually a horse who won the Preakness in 2006, the year that Barbaro ran, and he went on to become a champion himself. So from a pedigree standpoint, you know, it looks like the added distance should not be a problem for this horse. And certainly the way that he finished up in his race in the Holy Bowl going a mile, he certainly ran like a horse who would not have trouble going the extra distance that would be needed as these races start getting longer.
And Bernardini is, Glenn, the baby daddy of who?
Oh,
very famous girl
here.
Zenyatta. Yeah, exactly. So good bloodlines. That would be great that he would win. I mean, like Zenyatta and Bernardini's baby is not going to be priceless enough to have, like, the year that it's born, it's the father of the Derby winner. Oh. So awesome.
Well, and you know that Rachel Alexandra is going to Bernardini this year too herself.
What? No
yes.
joke. Are you serious?
So because she had her first foal of, you know, in January, it was a Curl and Colt, and she's scheduled to go to Bernardini this year. So he's going to get the two hottest girls in the breeding shed. So a lot of guys are going to be jealous of Bernardini.
Oh my God!
Bernardini's got
awesome,
the life,
Mike.
Doesn't he?
He's got the life.
Yeah, he
wow.
gets all the he gets like the runway models. You know, he gets the super hot girls.
He's like Tom Brady. He's like Tom Brady. He gets Michelle. He gets Giselle, but then he also gets the other girl who walk in Victoria's Secret show too. So.
I love that analogy.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
That's so funny.
How about? One I wanted to ask about was Creative Cause.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. He's, you know, kind of, you know, if we're looking at some of the West Coast horses, as we've been kind of focusing on the East Coast and Midwest here, he's a horse who, again, you know, a lot of people consider him maybe the top horse in California right now. He had his first start back this past week in the San Vicente, and he actually lost. He got beat. He finished third to one of Bob Baffert's horses, Drill, and a lot of people aren't knocking him too much off that race because it was a distance that was shorter than what he probably prefers to go, and also it was his first start since running in the Breeders' Cup in November, so he probably had some rust that he was trying to knock off, and I think his trainer was just looking, using that race for exactly what it is, a prep race to kind of move forward. And on paper, he's another one that seems to have all of that kind of potential there. With he's got the breeding, you know, he was a Grade One winner last year. My only worry with Creative Cause is when I look back at his race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, where he finished third in that race, he had an absolutely perfect, ideal trip in that race, and he had Hansen measured in the stretch, and he still couldn't get there. And so that's my only worry, is when a horse has absolutely everything go perfect for him, and he still can't quite pull the trigger there. So I just wonder maybe if he has enough of a turn of foot to really finish these races when it counts.
Yeah, and mentioning Hansen, you know, it's kind of one of those situations where I see Hansen as an amazing sprinter. It kind of like, I kind of liken Hansen to Shackelford last year, where Shackelford I thought should be in some shorter races. I thought the mile was his distance, and watching Hansen in the Juvenile, my God, he just flew. But I really feel like he's kind of, a mile and an eighth is not going to be his distance. Do you have an opinion?
I think you're exactly right on that, and I think that's kind of the big question mark that sort of everybody had about him, and it kind of got confirmed a little bit when he did get beat in his first start this year in the Holy Bull. Is he, you know, he has a very one-dimensional style. Obviously, his game plan, he's going to go to the front. He's going to try to go as far and as fast as he can for as long as he can. But the problem is, you know, in his first race back, if he gets a little too keyed up or if they go too fast, he's going to use up all of that, all of his energy, and he's not going to have enough left, you know, in the tank, so to speak. When you do have to go a mile and an eighth, a mile and a quarter, he got a great trip last year in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile where he did get probably, you know, some of the best fractions that he could have hoped for, and he did hold on against Union Rags. But I think unless they really get this horse to learn how to just relax and settle on the front end, he's going to have a hard time as these distances stretch out, because it's very hard for front running horses to win the Derby, and no front running horse is going to last a mile and a quarter unless they can relax or, you know, in that early going.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's got some work to do, and you know, maybe when I saw this horse Hansen, I mean, you cannot. I was like, I don't even know what color that horse is, Glenn. If you remember, Hansen is like a steel. What is that? Because young horses that are gray are not supposed to be that color.
Yeah, it is. That's what makes him so popular. He's almost white already, and you, like, you usually don't see that. They're usually more, like I said, more of that steely color.
He's very interesting. So he's going to be a crowd favorite, I think.
Yeah, he's another one. He draws a lot of attention for his looks, and he said he's certainly a stunning horse to watch. And you know, when he's on his game, he's capable of some really brilliant moments. And hopefully, you know, he can, you know, he's. I think they're going to send him to the Gotham Stakes for his next start. He was originally being pointed towards the Fountain of Youth, but his connections wanted to give him a little bit of extra time heading in towards the next race. And also the Fountain of Youth has probably came up a little bit tougher than maybe they'd like to hook right now with him. So he's going to go in the Gotham Stakes in New York, and that figures to be, you know, on paper, a bit of an easier spot for him to try to regroup and get his confidence back.
And how far is that race?
The Gotham, I believe, I can Google it right here to be sure. I believe it's a mile and a 16th, but I can Google it to be sure because it's still early and I'm.
It's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, it
because
is a mile,
a mile and a quarter. Okay, mile and 16th is better than
mile and 16th.
The mile and,
Yeah, it is a mile and a 16th. Yeah, they're not going a mile and a quarter until we get to May. So that's why it's all going to be a question mark of how far these babies are going to last.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Now,
Now, who? So if you have one more that you'd like to tell us about, I know I have off of your list that you had here, I have a couple that I just like because of their names, which is usually how we end up picking horses. And
that
one of them
has
yeah, exactly. One of my favorite is Gemologist. I just think that's a great name. And that's actually a Windstar horse with Todd Fletcher, too.
Right. He's another one. You know, he's kind of, at least Windstar hopes right now, is going to follow in the footsteps of Super Saber, who obviously was the horse for Windstar and for Todd Fletcher, who won the Derby in 2010. He's unbeaten so far, and he has already kind of followed a similar path that Super Saber did, and that Super Saber won the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs in the fall of his two-year-old season to kind of sort of put himself on the map, and Gemologist was able to win that same race in November to sort of get himself going. He's another horse who just, you know, really impressive physically. He's already just such a huge horse. I think he's over 17 hands right now, and when I talked to the president of Windstar, he said he's already over 1,300 pounds. This is a big boy who is still kind of growing into his frame. But the fact that he seems to be, in his running style, that he is so big, but he also seems to have some speed and some, you know, he seems to be a little bit more athletic even for a horse of his size. I think that's something that's really going to bode well for him as he gets himself back on the trail this year.
Cool. Well, is this your favorite time? I mean, this has to be for you. You get to go cover this in person and get do you go to all the parties and everything too?
No, don't really get to any parties, you know, especially when you get into Derby week. We're just so busy. I mean, we're out at the tracks pretty early in the morning watching the horses work, and then you're out there all during training hours, and you come back and, you know, and then really we spend all of our days up in the press box trying to crank out our stories and, you know, don't get out of there sometimes until the evening. By that point, we're all pretty beat and then have to get ready to do it all again the next day. So, but, I mean, it's a long week, Derby week, but it is by far, it is a fun week. And there's always just so much excitement and buzz and just there's such a neat vibe that goes on around the whole track. And it really is so neat to see just, you know, even the general public or the people who may not even follow racing on an everyday basis really turn all of their attention to this sport for this race and see so many people just get involved and, you know, and they get hooked on their favorite horses, whether it's because they've been following them or because they think that they love their color or their name, and they just really form these great attachments to them. And it's a great time. It's a great thing to be a part of. You know, I've covered a lot of different sporting events in my days, and I can honestly say there is absolutely nothing that comes close to the Derby.
Well, will you do us a favor, maybe one of the mornings that week before the Derby, would you come on with us for a couple minutes and give us a report from the backside?
Sure, I'll try. Hopefully, it'll be a nice, quiet morning with no breaking news. And yeah, I can lean up against Todd Fletcher's barn or Nick Vito's barn and chat with you guys for a few minutes.
Oh, that'd be great. We would love that. Well, we'll definitely be talking to you before we get to that point here in May. And thank you so much. It's Alicia. How do you say your last name? Is it Wins?
Yeah, actually my last name is Hughes now. Wince is my maiden name. I got married last year, so I still keep the Wince in the byline for purposes so that people didn't think they just hired a random new girl with a similar name.
Congrats.
So yeah,
congratulations.
So Hughes, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so Hughes is my official legal last name now, which is much easier than my maiden name was.
Well, you can find all of her articles at Kentucky.com. Just go to Kentucky.com. It's the Lexington Herald Leader, but that's where you'll find them all. We'll also post a link to the article that you did with the 12 horses here on our Facebook page. And thank you so much. We hope to talk to you again soon. This has been great.
Thanks again, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning. Best of luck in your Derby scouting.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Alicia.
I'm not sure that helped me pick one, though, to be honest. Still more confused than ever.
I know, but the more you learn about them, the more excited that it gets at all of them. So, you know, like I said, education breeds interest. The more we learn about each individual horse and you get wrapped up in these backstories, like, you know, can Hansen go a mile and a quarter because he's more like a sprinter? And then we've got Creative Cause and he didn't win this race. And then you've got Algorithms, who's from Louisville. I mean, yeah, it's overwhelming. And, you know, I mean, out of all the ones that she said, I totally thought you were going to go with algorithms, because that horse, with the people living in Louisville, it's a couple, it's a very much like Mucho Macho Man story. So I kind of thought you would kind of pick that one. But he's racing soon.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I'd kind of wait till after he races, because he's going up against Union Rags, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But I kind of do like the backstory to that one. I really do. It kind of almost matches the backstory to, you know, to our last one, to Triple M. So, all right, we'll have to wait and see over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll all have to get together and make our pick. Maybe we'll get some votes from our listeners, too. We'll come up with maybe four or five, and we'll get some votes from the listeners as well.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right, very good.
I love the idea. Perfect.
Well, this song today is sponsored by FeedXL, and as you know, FeedXL is the place you can go to find out if you're feeding your horses correctly. We had a little incident at the barn with one of the boarded horses there, and, you know, you got to always be worried about what you're putting in your horse's mouth. And one of the ways that you can find out if you're doing it correctly, most people don't have a way. They just sort of guess, or they go to the feed store and they ask. But the feed store people don't really know your horse real well. Well, the people at FeedXL will, because you're going to put in all the details about your horse. It's going to take you about 5 minutes. You're going to put in the details about everything you put in your horse's mouth, from hay to grain to feed. And they're going to analyze all the ingredients. They break down all the ingredients in the feeds that you have in there, or the supplements. They have over 3,000 products in their database now. So they can break it all down, and they give you these reports on whether you're feeding too much of some things or too little of others, so you know exactly whether you're doing the right thing by your horse. You can do all of that very quickly and easily at feedxl.com. You know, it'll cost you a couple bucks to do it. It's not expensive, but for a lot of people, it saves them money, because they find out they're overfeeding in many cases. That's what happened to us with Beaker this year. We found out we were actually giving them too much food, and we had to cut it back a little bit. So that's feedxl.com. Well, I have another new song for you from Templeton Thompson off of her new CD. It's the Icy Blue Heart CD. It'll be out for general release here very shortly, but we're giving you a little preview here. I would love for somebody to post on Facebook, and I know Karen or somebody's going to come up with this. Amiko, if you're listening, who was the person? This is a cover that Templeton has done, but who was the person that made this song famous?
you're no good.
That's Templeton Thompson, and you ask who sang that, Glenn, on our Facebook page, but I haven't looked at anything. I have a guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, when I heard this song, it immediately made me think of one thing, and I went online, and I found it, and that is the Muppet Show.
Who was singing it?
Well, reading about it, it was an angel that was singing about it, and then this like red devil pops up and they start singing back and forth, and then the devil starts singing. Here we go. They're gone, baby, light my fire. Did I win? What did I win?
Yeah, that's not the answer I was expecting. You definitely get the award for the most creative. I give you that.
Okay, take it over then. If I didn't win, I don't care.
Well, it looks like Susan Nelson came out with the first answer. We had some guesses here. Linda Ronstadt was the one. Now, this has been covered by about 5,000 people, but Linda Ronstadt was the one that I remember listening to back when I was a kid that really put this on the map. But I loved, didn't you love her version? I loved it.
Yeah, I must confess that I'm not the hugest Linda Ronstadt fan because I think that was a little before my time. However, Templeton Thompson is my time, and I love anything she sings, and she really put a great spin on it. You know, again, Randy Johnson, you made it your own, dog. You know, you made it your own. You weren't even pitchy. You were in message right there.
It's Randy Jackson, though. I just want to
say. Oh, Randy Johnson's a baseball player. Sorry.
All
I'm
right,
really an
you are listening
fanatic.
To Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn. Here, I'm going to talk fast like Alicia. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen over there in the producer chair. It is Thursday, but it's Jamie's Friday because she is off tomorrow. And the Horse Radio Network show highlight this week is the Driving Radio Show. It's now live, came out last night. And you, anybody who is a Bachelor fan out there, I don't know if we have anybody in the audience that is, but if you are, we had the parents of the Bachelors, Lindsay Cox, on. She is the horse girl that's on The Bachelor right now, made it to the Final Four. And they were doing a visit. The Bachelor went out and visit all the families and meet the parents. And they were in Florida on last week's show, and Ocala, actually, and the parents live there. We got to interview Dad. So you'll hear all about Dad on this week's Driving Radio Show. And there was another story, too, that came out, and I loved this. Apparently, Lindsay made it clear that anybody that she is, if they plan to have a future with her, they must be into horses, and they must learn to like horses because that's the only way they're going to have a life together. Go, girl! She's sticking to her roots. And she was riding, when she was like in, well, they actually, apparently the mom rode a horse like when she was 9 months pregnant. So this girl's been riding before she was born. So you go, girl. Go, Lindsay.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I'm glad to see it. You know what? I must confess, I do not watch The Bachelor because my reality television bank is completely full now that I started watching a new show. I started a new reality show. And
that singing one, didn't you?
What?
You started that singing one. Aren't you watching that singing one? You got into that one?
Yes, and Dancing with the Stars is my fall television watching. And Mom, if you're listening, which I know you are, you need to start tuning in to The Voice. The Voice. It is the best show. Okay, not to be whatever, but like Chad, I made Chad watch it the other day. He had been at work all day, and I had done a bunch of stuff for him. So I was like, I get to pick the television show tonight, and I had DVR'd The Voice, and I'm like, no matter what I pick, you have to watch it. And he's like, okay. Whatever you pick, it's totally yours. Well, ha, 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 I had it on DVR. So I pop it up. I'm like, it's The Voice. He's like, oh, no, I don't want to watch this. He was so into it. By the end of it, we were, like, discussing contestants after the show. That's how good it is. He's like, I really liked it when Christina Aguilera said this. And this, well, maybe he wasn't, like, talking like that. But we discussed it after the show.
I was gonna say.
And oh my God, CeeLo, like, totally is so funny.
Dad's little girl voice.
And then, oh my God, Adam Levine is so cute. I totally think I should get some tattoos. I told him, I said, the celebrity you most look like is Adam Levine. He's one of the judges, obviously, the lead singer Maroon 5. I said, all you need is some tats, baby. Let's tat you up. Let's get some tattoos.
I liked the show. I did watch one night of it, and I think it was early on, it was several weeks ago, and I kind of didn't understand the premise. They were, like, picking teams, and I was kind of getting lost in exactly what they were doing, but it did have a good dynamic to it.
I'm such huge fans of Blake Shelton, CeeLo, Adam Levine, and Christina Aguilera. I love all of them, so to kind of see them in a more personal light and kind of ribbing each other and talking back and forth. It's like, who are four people you would never see in a room together? Those guys, unless they're at an award show fighting, you know? So I just think it's such an interesting concept. And the fact that they cannot see them when they're singing takes all the subjectiveness out of it. And it is just purely on The Voice. And I just love that. Sorry. I know, a random topic. Move on. I do love the show, though. I don't know the premise either. I don't know what's going to happen, Glenn. I don't know what teams are and what they're going to do and all this kind of stuff, but I'm going to watch it and find out.
All right, great. The Voice. And, of course, I'm still watching American Idol. I've been watching American Idol for years, so I'm still watching American Idol, and I know we probably have some Idol fans in the audience, too.
I do like the show, and I love Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, I got to tell you that now we're going to do Idol Talk. And for Lisa's waiting, I got to tell you that these three judges, I thought when, you know, Simon left and everything, it was going to suck. I like it better than any of the judges before. This particular combination, and Steven Tyler, I didn't think I was going to like Steven Tyler as a judge because I didn't know how many brain cells he had left. He's got a lot left. He comes out with some very intelligent stuff between him and Lopez, and there's not all this fighting going on. I really like what they've done to produce it this year. There's not as many of the wacky people. It's been very good. I have enjoyed this year better than I probably have any other year in the past.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that because I was kind of like wondering what it was going to be. But I knew that Steven Tyler wasn't like Mick Jagger or Ozzy Osbourne where they're kind of like you can't even understand them. He's actually like kind of – I think he's lived a little more clean than the rest of them. So, I mean, he's still a skinny rock star, but I think he puts his sentence together well. So, good. I'm glad you're liking that show.
He's still one of 10 people in the world that can get away with wearing skinny jeans.
The bigger the rock star you are, the tighter your jeans are allowed to be. And he qualifies.
Right.
He can wear, like, nothing. He's such a rock star. Lisa from The Chronicle is actually on hold. Lisa, just not to get off topic here, what reality show do you watch?
You know, I hate to be this person, but I am this person. I don't have a TV. So,
Lisa, what are you doing?
I know, it's crazy.
Well, don't answer that question. I don't want to know. But let me rephrase it. Is it because you're spending all your quality time in the barn with your horse?
No, that's not it. You know, I do actually watch a lot of television, though, because the internet is awesome, so you can just watch whatever you want all the time. But I don't watch any reality shows.
Huh.
So,
okay.
Sorry, I'm like the biggest buzzkill right now.
as long as you realize it, that's fine. So, what is the water cooler talk around the Chronicle? Because obviously people are going to talk about shows and stuff. Are you always like, I don't watch that one. I don't know. How's that work? Are you always a buzzkill?
I mean, we watch a lot of, I'd say most people watch like, you know, a fair amount of just regular television shows. Mad Men is a big one. You know, we all sort of watch things on DVD because part of the issue with living in Middleburg is that in a lot of the places where we live, you can't actually get cable. I know this is all crazy. Because it's kind of like, you know, a lot of people live on farms and they're sort of out in the middle of nowhere. So you either have a satellite or you're just like getting DVDs from Netflix. So
yeah, I don't get cable at my house either. So Lisa, I totally understand. But we did get the satellite. All right, enough TV talk. Now we're going to talk a little bit. tell us what the article is that you just wrote for the Chronicle.
Well, this is actually written by Megan, former intern Megan. You guys know her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was big news that happened. Small Hunter Division is back, and this has been a very exciting thing for a lot of people. So right now, there's a huge market for Hunter ponies. Like, Hunter ponies are the thing. And if you want a nice Hunter pony, you have to pay, like, who even knows how much, but a ridiculous amount. But then there's sort of this thing where if you breed a pony and it grows up to be 14.3, you're sort of like, oh no, what do I do with this animal? Because there wasn't a good place for that sized horse in the hunter world, because, you know, most people want the biggest animal they can find, because it tends to be easier for them to get down the line, although obviously that's a bit of a stereotype, because small horses can have big strides too. But so even if you had a small junior hunter, like, you would still want them to be, you know, 15.3 and 7.8. So there's been this sort of missing market for the horses that are 14.3 to like 15.2 and a half. So years and years ago, they had this thing called the Small Hunter Division, which was for horses that were between 14.2 and 15.2 and a half, and it was a separate division with separate awards. And then it went away for some reason, but now it's back, and everyone's very excited.
Well, okay, yeah. let me ask you about this. So in the hunter divisions, because you and I both, neither one of us do hunters, but Megan definitely does. So you had the pony, and then you had the horse. But then everybody started leaning towards the big giant horse because, you know, typical hunter strides are 12 foot, and you had to get six strides in between these fences and blah, 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 blah. So everybody wanted, like, the 16-plus even 17-hand horses. So now this provides a hunter market for 14.2 to 15.2, you know, somewhere in the middle there. I think that's a great idea because that gives, you know, such an opportunity for those size horses to get in there and compete. And not everybody wants a 14.2 hand or no an under, and not everybody wants a 16-plus hand. So, I mean, I like 15.3 is a great size, and good for them. Yay.
I know. Yeah. I think it's really awesome. Cause you think a lot of nice horses, like, just aren't a good size, and no one has wanted, you know, a 15 one hand horse in the hunters because they maybe couldn't make it down the lines, or because, you know, they'd rather ride a 16 three hand horse or something. But I think it's awesome. I think it'll create a new market for a lot of horses that don't currently have one. Because you think, like, if you're a pony breeder, you want to breed for the biggest. If you're breeding large ponies, you want to breed for the biggest large pony you can. But, like, that's such an imprecise science. And the chances that you get a pony that's 14.3, I mean, that's a pretty good chance. And it's nice to think that now those like slightly overgrown ponies will have a place to go.
It makes me think of the off-track thoroughbreds, like OTTBs that are 15-1, you know, or 15 hands.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
gives them a hunter market to go into as opposed to just going to be, you know, wherever, you know, whatever jobs. This gives them the whole other market to compete in. So maybe they'll start doing the OTTB classes in the small hunter because they're doing a lot of encouragement for people using those horses. So I think it's
yeah.
great. When does this rule kick in? When do they finally start to do it?
It looks like the divisions are going to be offered starting in 20. I think they're offered this year, but they are looking to have a final that will not take place until 2013. So it's sort of up to the horses at this point, I think, if they want to offer it. But I think we will start to see horses that will offer it, because I think people will enter. I mean, I think it'll be a great thing, and it's not necessarily for kids, you know, because adults can do it too, and I think that's very cool, because not every adult wants to ride, you know, a 17-hand horse, especially if they're a little bit smaller.
I got to tell you, it's funny you brought this up today, Lisa, because when we were down in Ocala last weekend, we visited a barn, and right next door was this huge farm. And he said, the owner said, well, my new neighbors, these people just bought this a month ago, and it's a big farm. And I said, well, what kind of horses? And he said, well, they have Welsh ponies and Welsh cobs that they're selling to hunters. So this is
yep.
becoming a business again. You know, these people had 50 of them on this farm.
My God.
And they breed them specifically for that market. So, you know, I don't know if they had a heads up that this was going to be being brought back into the show ring again, but it's becoming a huge market again. And I'm glad to see it. You know, I'm a pony lover. Everybody knows in this show I love ponies. And I'm just glad to see it anytime us pony people get recognized.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be great.
Now,
right,
what else is on the Chronicle this week before we let you go?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, what else is on the Chronicle this week before we wrap and let you go?
We had a couple of cool things up this week. We started our Road to the Olympics series, which means we sort of each follow a rider who's, you know, aiming for the Olympics, and we'll touch base with them 3 times throughout the course of the selection trials and leading up to them. So yesterday we had up Karen O'Connors, which is really interesting because Karen bought the top German horse, Mr. Medicat, sort of at the end of last year. And so she talked about the process of getting to know him and getting him out, and her hopes for making it to the Olympic team with him. So that's been cool. Those have been up, and they'll continue to go up periodically as we talk to the people and get them out there.
Oh, what a great idea. Okay, I'm definitely going to go read that because it's writer, they're writing it themselves, correct?
Yeah, we talked to them and then we transcribed them because, I mean, they're crazy busy. It would be really unfair to ask them to sit down and type out 2,000 words. But they do tell us what they want to say and then we write it down. So.
Good deal. Well, check it out. It's chronofhorse.com. Lisa, as always, thank you so much for joining us and we will talk to you again next week.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for our guests for the day. We just have a few more news stories I think we wanted to get through before we call it a day here today. One of the ones, Jamie, was the Chicago Police Horses are going to get protective shields for the NATO and G8 summits. You know, why? And we don't talk about politics much on this show, but every time you hear about the G8 summit, which I think is like the top 8 countries or whatever come in, there's always riots. And at the NATO and G8 summits, you just hear about it. Wherever it is, there's riots. All these people show up from around the world, and they riot, and they burn things down, and they blow things up, and they throw rocks at police. Why would you volunteer your city to hold any of these summits is beyond me, because you just know it's going to be a nightmare. Well, Chicago has a huge police horse division, and they are now getting their own riot gear in preparation for the NATO G8 summit. And what they're looking for is they're going to put leather nose guards, they're going to put wraparound visors to protect their eyes, and leg shields. So they're going to kind of look like the horses in full metal jousting.
They probably been watching the show and got some ideas from them, I'm sure. That's great. Well, you know, I wonder if they
have 30 horses in their mounted unit. That's a big mounted unit.
Yeah, I wonder if they volunteer or it's like you have like at the G8 summit this year. Is there going to be a one part where they go, not it, and the last person to say not it has to have it in their city next year?
Maybe that.
Drawn straws.
You have to put your thumb on the table, and the last person to put their thumb on the edge of the table, you know, has to drink and get the G8 summit in their city next year. Okay, that was a drinking game. something actually pretty cool is happening. And I know people are always going to have their own opinions, but there is now a contraceptive vaccine that is going to be used in a lot of the Mustangs. They've been using them on the Estag Island horses, the ponies, and it's been a pilot project in Virginia. And apparently it was such a big success to use population control, basically, for animals that they're going to implement it to the Mustang herds that are wild. So apparently they have to, you know, they have to catch them all. They have to vaccinate them. I'm not quite sure how long it lasts, how long it blocks fertilization of the horses. But apparently because of this, they're not going to have to round up the Mustangs as much. And that is what causes the injuries and the drama and the problems and the name calling and the lawsuits is the way that they round up these horses. So they're going to potentially not have to round them up as much because they've been working apparently since 1990 trying to get fertility control treatments to the Mustangs. So the Humane Society has been supporting this, and they're going to potentially be able to leave the Mustangs alone once they get them vaccinated. So I think that's a great, great move forward in protecting America's Mustangs.
Terrific. And for anybody in the Northeast, the Horse World Expo starts today. And, of course, we've been talking about the Horse World Expo because this is the year, all these trainers we've been talking to for the Retired Racehorse Trainer Challenge, this is where they'll get to show off their stuff and they'll be judged and they'll pick a winner. So by the end of this weekend, we should know more about that. And, of course, this is at the Farm Show Arena in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It starts today and goes through Sunday. You can, and anybody that's a horse person in Pennsylvania and Maryland and New Jersey all come in for this. So it's a big time up in Pennsylvania this weekend at the Horse World Expo. And as far as I could tell by the weather, for once, they're not going to be snowed or iced on. So you might actually have good weather to go to Harrisburg.
what's your weather looking like for this weekend there in Kentucky? Is it going to be nice?
Get this, Jamie. 66 degrees today.
Woo-hoo! Yay, that's great. That's great. Now, most importantly, do we have any early predictions of what weather is going to be like in Lexington for Rolex?
It's kind of early for that. It's funny.
Snow, rain, sunny, or cold.
Yep, one of those.
That's helpful.
It's always one of those.
That was helpful.
Or all four.
You know, you think at the end of April in Lexington that you could just count on it being, you know, like beautiful spring weather, but boy, hasn't over the years it been it's been nasty. I mean, we had last year or the year before, they had to evacuate the park on Saturday for tornado warnings.
Yeah, it got a little messy. You know, I would just say consult your farmer's almanac and tell me what I need to pack because I'm so excited. You know, all this Derby talk this morning even got me excited about Rolex because Rolex is always the weekend before the Derby. So it's like two great horsey weekends all together in one. I'm so excited. And, yeah, you can have snow or rain and sun and wind all in the same day at the end of April in Lexington, Kentucky. So it's always exciting. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Well, you'll be here before you know it. It'll be here. That's going to wrap it up for today. Don't forget that tomorrow we want you to tune in. We'll be live at the 2012 World Horseshoeing Classic at the Kentucky Horseshoeing School in Richmond, Kentucky. I'll be down there. It'll be about an hour show. We'll be talking to a whole bunch of farriers and find out what exactly they do at a horseshoeing competition. There's $10,000 up for grabs. So I'll be down there. Joe Police, yes, his last name is Police, will be my co-host tomorrow. Jamie has the day off, and we'll be back all together here in the studio on Monday. But I get to do a little road trip tomorrow, and we get to smell a little hoof cooking.
Hoof cooking. All right, everybody.
That's it. That's what I'm going to do, Jamie. Tomorrow I am going to do a survey, and we're going to find out from the farriers from all over the world what the consensus is and how you say that word.
Just write it down and have them read it and see what they say. I guarantee you that I'm going to win.
All right. And if I win, you have to start saying it my way.
Oh, okay. You know what? If you win, I will start saying, "Hoof." It's just so stupid. That is so, I can't even do it. We'll see. We'll see what happens because you have to start saying it my way if I win. Okay?
All right. Hoof. Try.
The rest of the world says it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Bye, everybody.
We're back.
Have a great day. Wear your helmet.
Practice that.